Only the beginning of what is sure to be a wild offseason. It's the Wednesday edition of Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga and Anthony Stewart with you on Twitter at the Golden Muzzy, at Stu Monroe. Producer Matt Marchese, as well as Technical Ops Dylan Brown and Lance Kennedy along for the ride as well. As they say, business is picking up across the NHL. Expect the unexpected. And on Tuesday, prime indication of that, Minnesota announcing they were buying out both Zach Parise and Ryan Suter. Wild GM Bill Guerin will drop by in about 10 from now. We'll break it all down with him. Also, it seemed like a formality, but maybe not so much lately. Could Avs captain Gabriel Landeskog actually make it to market on July 28th? The TV voice of the Colorado Avalanche, Mark Mosier, will drop by in about 30 from now to break that part of the story as we welcome in and say hello to one Anthony Stewart. What's going on, Stu Cat?
I'm doing well. How are you doing on this fine Wednesday?
I'm fantastic, you know, just living life and waiting for the Seattle Kraken, right? I think the one thing, Stewie, people not really conversing about is that we're going to have a roster freeze coming up on Saturday at 3 Eastern time for about 5 days as Seattle picks its team. I have no clue what I'm going to tweet in those 5 days because I love NHL trades, as you know.
Well, you're probably going to be tweeting hashtag make a trade like you've been doing all year for no reason whatsoever. But I'm most interested to see, does the Jack Eichel get done beforehand?
Well, that's one of the questions, certainly. And we've seen a couple moves. Certainly, we'll get to Minnesota coming up with Bill Guerin, the Duncan Keith move. But let's start with Jeff Skinner, somebody you played with in Carolina, of course, agrees to waive his no trade clause for the Seattle expansion draft. He has 6 seasons at $9 million per remaining on that deal. I still wonder if that deal actually plays out in its entirety. But Jeff Skinner, first and foremost, what type of teammate was he?
Skinner was definitely a great guy, young guy, and I had to show him the ropes of what it was to sort of be a National Hockey League player. And again, guys like to train and, you know, sometimes take it a little bit too serious. And I think he was one of those guys, he needed to lighten up a bit. And once he started to lighten up and sort of hang out with the boys, his game started to sort of round off where he was becoming a popular teammate and, you know, his career started to skyrocket. So for me, that's why I sort of get a little upset when I hear about everybody chirping him and saying he's done. He's a great player. He's one of those guys, you put him in a top six role, you give him his power play minutes. At the end of the season, he's going to finish with his 25, 30 goals and his 60 points. But he's not one of those guys, and it's all about respect. You can't be putting him in out of the lineup. You can't be messing with his ice. He's not a checker. He's one of the best, purest skaters in the National Hockey League. He's one of those guys. You put him in a role, he's going to fill it, and he's going to do his job. So obviously, with that $9 million cap hit comes some expectations. He had a couple off years, 14 goals, 7 this past season. But you don't just wake up and score 40. And this guy scored 30 goals 3 other times in his career. He's a pure skill guy. You can't turn him into a checker.
And you're right. And I think the most important part about Jeff Skinner, Stewie, that I think sometimes is not talked about enough, he can skate, right? Especially in this day and age of NHL hockey, skating can burn. And I think if you talk about guys who can be resurgent players and find their groove again, Jeff Skinner has to be in that list. And I think you're totally right. You know, he's had a lot of coaches the last couple of years. It's been very, very turbulent. Outside of that 1 year, of course, with Buffalo. But you can't have Jeff Skinner in a bottom six role. It's just not going to work. But he's that type of player. He can already skate. If he gets that confidence, he's done it before in this league, right?
Yeah, and there's certain guys. There's probably about 20, 30 guys in the league where you just leave them alone. Like Phil Kessel, you don't mess with Phil Kessel's ice. You don't try to, you know, motivate him by sitting in the press. But there's guys, you just let them cook, as they would say. And again, I know his underlining numbers, and I know the analytics guys are slapping their sheets on the desk saying his war is not good and his, you know, points per 60, blah, 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 blah. But he's one of those guys, he just runs numbers. Put him out there, give him a role, he'll run his numbers. So, again, it's a little frustrating hearing that because he's such a good teammate. I don't think there's anyone in the league that has anything to say bad about him. So I expect him, if he gets picked up by Seattle, I'm not too sure, he'll have a bounce back here because he's one of those guys. He trains hard in the gym. He works on the finer points of the game. I would not be surprised if he has a bounce back season.
And does that not just demonstrate what type of teammate he is? Because he's somebody who worked hard for that contract, got that contract, and still willing to waive his no trade in a process like this when he committed his future to Buffalo, right?
Yeah, and again, it's like the curse of the Hextall crease. It's the curse of Buffalo right now for a lot of guys where, you know, I thought Eric Staal was going to go in there with his leadership and turn things around. So it's just tough, and it's just not one player. It's just the organization as a whole. It's just sort of dragging guys down. But I'm sure, again, Buffalo's a hardworking city, tight-knit city. I'm sure they'll turn things around. Just not working for him in Buffalo. I would like to see him get an opportunity somewhere else or play him and see what he does.
And that's one of the things we'll see over the next couple of days, you know, similar to Caleb Jones, who we started to wonder if maybe Seattle would pluck him from Edmonton in the expansion draft, now with Chicago and the Duncan Keith deal, but shuffling of the deck chairs, so to speak, because, you know, a guy like Skinner waiving his no trade allows Buffalo to maybe protect an Anders Bjork, who they picked up, of course, in the Hall deal with Boston, Tage Thompson, Rasmus Asplund. So it gives them more options. And certainly Eric Johnson's name was out there yesterday as well in terms of waiving his no trade. That certainly helps Colorado. And again, we'll converse about the Avalanche with Mark Mosier in about 25 from now, the TV voice of the Avs. I just think it speaks volumes to the character of some of these guys because it's a crazy time of year. I mean, you played in this league. You know, the NHL trade deadline, always, you know, worrisome time in the fan. Like, these guys have families, as you know. And, I mean, there's a lot more to it than we think as a casual fan and a hockey fan and media covering this game. There are so many different optics, including the offseason. I mean, take us behind the scenes of a player in the offseason when you just know there's a potential you can go somewhere at any given time.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember I was signing on free agency day. I think it was the second or third day, and Anaheim gave a call, and I'm sitting in Toronto, and I'm like, I got three dogs. How am I going to get my three dogs to Anaheim? So I said, so that was a factor in me making a decision where I was going to go because, you know, I did the drive to Florida a couple times and that was 24 hours. I couldn't do a 50-hour drive. So again, the family life and the external factors in your decision on where you're going to sign too. But at the same time, you just want to play. You want to be comfortable. And players like Jeff Skinner, he earned that no movement. He earned that contract. You don't just wake up and score 40 goals. So he's earned that. But at the same time, hockey players are very, very prideful. And even though they earn their no movement, if you don't want me and you want me to go somewhere else, you know what? I'm going to, you know, wave. I'm going to go somewhere else. And for the most part, prove you wrong. So I think Skinner still has some left in the tank. He's one of those guys, like I said before, let him be. Let him be. Let him do what he does. He's a pure skill player. And he will have a bounce back season.
Love that narrative, Stewie, because didn't Vegas comprise an entire team of players like that who sort of played with a chip on their shoulder a couple years back?
Yeah, but then they started signing the veterans and getting rid of them as well. Yeah. So that's another thing, too, where I think Vegas could have a problem. I hope they're not listening right now. They may have a problem in the near future where if, you know, I'm a 30-something-year-old guy, I want a little bit of security. I want to come in here and, you know, ride off my career into the sunset. If I'm signing there and a year later you're trading me, that's going to factor into a lot of guys that are 28, 29. Do I really want to sign a 5-year, 6-year deal knowing that they could get rid of me after the second year too? So that's something that the players talk about. They discuss amongst themselves and it factors into a lot of decisions. The respect factor goes a long way with players in the National Hockey League.
I love that perspective, humanizing the situation, because it's one thing to look at it through the lens of media or a fan, but to look at it from a player perspective, I think is bang on. And we talked about that on Monday with Jesse Granger, The Athletic, where you keep going after the hottest, best toy in the offseason. I think it plays a toll and a factor in that room, not to mention we talked about the cap situation in Vegas as well. And just optically from that point of view as a player, it doesn't sit right, does it, knowing that you could potentially sign somewhere and next thing you know you're Paul Stastny, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, did he get traded twice or no? Or he went to Winnipeg twice. But you know, a prime example is Marc-Andre Fleury. Everyone thought that he was done after he got benched, and you know, they had the tweet with the sword in the back. They thought he was finished. But he's one of those guys that has such great social equity amongst his peers that he got another opportunity and he made the most of it too. So they thought his career was done. He's still a hot commodity right now at 36 years old.
Well, Stewie, from the top rope on Tuesday, the Wild made some big news announcing they were buying out both Zach Parise and Ryan Suter. We're now happy to bring in former NHLer, two-time Stanley Cup champ, current GM of the Minnesota Wild. It is Bill Guerin. Bill, thanks so much for doing this. How's it going?
No, it's going well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, our pleasure. Our pleasure. Take us behind the scenes. Obviously, you know, crazy busy last 24 hours for your organization. Take us behind the scenes. How long ago did the journey to this decision begin? What went into it? And ultimately, why did you make it?
It started, you know, quite a few months ago. you know, just seeing how things were kind of shaking out with the two players, you know, trying to look into the future a little bit for us, and you know how these things go. It's just like trades and any other big decision. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lot of time. It takes, you know, many different conversations with you know, our hockey ops group, with Craig Leopold, our owner, and you know, these can't be taken lightly. So it takes time. And I mean, even up to the night before, you want to go over things as many times as you can to make sure that you're doing what you really want to do and what you think is going to be best for the team. And, you know, it just through, you know, for a lot of different reasons that, you know, that we talked about is why we ultimately came to this decision and you know, to buy the two guys out. But, you know, they'll land somewhere, they'll land on their feet, and they'll, you know, they're still effective players.
Bill, is definitely a tough decision, I'm sure, but did it make it a little bit easier with the emergence of young players in their, you know, early 20s, like Kaprizov, Fiala, Greenway, and Eriksson Ek?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's part of it, too, is that we do have young players emerging, and you know how this goes. Like, you have to play your best guys, and they're the ones that you know, command the ice time. And hey, look, we've all had our day in the sun, and you know, if we can't give a player what he wants, then you know what, maybe it's best that he goes and tries to get it somewhere else. And you know, like I said, these two guys are still good players, they're still effective players, but they're gonna, you know, we had to make room for our guys that we still have here.
With Wild GM Bill Guerin, it's Nick Alberga and Anthony Stewart here in Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Always curious to see and hear how these, you know, conversations go down, especially with ownership. You know, certainly Craig Leopold behind at the helm when these mega deals were initially signed. How do you even, you know, approach a conversation like that?
Well, you know what, you can't just go into it like just throwing stuff against the wall to see if it sticks. You have to have a plan. You have to, before you bring it to them, you would better have done your homework and make sure that you know what you're talking about, and you're going to have the answers to all his questions. And, you know, Craig's been very supportive the whole way through, and, you know, challenged me on certain things. And that's what you want. You want to be able to have that relationship where you can work through it together. And you know, ultimately, we came to the decision.
I'm far from a capologist, but I've been reading up and saying that there's going to be some dead cap space in a couple of years here. Is that going to be a problem for you down the road? Or is that something that you say, you know what, we're going to have some young guys stepping in that can, you know, on entry-level deals or cheap contracts can help weather that storm?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be difficult. It absolutely will. And those are, you know, the cap hits are what they are. But that was part of the process, too, is going through what our cap situation will look like. You know, how can we put you know, the best team together with this situation? And you're right, it's going to take, you know what, it's going to take great drafting, it's going to take great development. We're going to have to make sure that our prospects are getting everything that they need to be successful, and then, you know, ultimately come up and you know, be effective players for the Wild. And you know, we're confident in our scouting staff. We're confident in our development staff and our coaching staff in Iowa, and we're going to have to do it that way. And I think it could actually work out great.
In conversation with Bill Guerin, the GM of the Minnesota Wild. So knowing it's going to be tight financially over the next couple years, do you feel like that it'll greatly impact your ability to acquire a player that makes significant money, if you know what I'm saying, or is anything possible?
I mean, hey, look, anything's possible. It's just, you know, how does it affect your, you know, the overall team? You know, what you can do anything, really. It's just, you know, how far do you want to go? Like, how much does it deplete your current team? Things like that. You have to take everything into account. So, yeah, anything's possible.
Do you have an update on the health of Marco Rossi, who had COVID throughout the season, had to go back to Switzerland? And is it possible you see him in a Wild uniform next season?
He's doing great. He's back on the ice. He's, you know what, he's a workout nut. I mean, the kid's in great shape, and, you know, unfortunately had to cool it for a couple months, but he's back. He's, you know, he's, like I said, he's working out like crazy. He's on the ice. You know what, but we're going to do go through the proper development steps. You know, he's going to come to camp. He's going to show us what he's got, and, you know, we'll go from there. I can't promise anybody a spot that they're going to make the team coming out of camp or anything like that. We'll see how he does.
You hope he has a season like Kirill Kaprizov, who, Bill, I wanted to get to next. My goodness, what a first year in the NHL for Kaprizov. What's the latest you can share in terms of negotiations? Obviously, the two moves you made yesterday could help financially, but, I mean, it goes without saying you guys are looking to have a mega deal with this guy at some point in time, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's a very good player. He came in and had a big impact on us last year. It was great to see. You know, we needed it, and we still need him going forward. It's, you know, we're just going through the process right now of negotiating a contract. And, you know, me and his agent, we talk, you know, on a regular basis, and some days we get somewhere, some days we don't, but these things take time. And, you know, we've just got to continue to work through it, and we'll get there someday. You know, it might not be tomorrow, but we've got time.
You seem to have struck gold in signing Cam Talbot last offseason. So what was the process in getting him, and that you guys just get lucky, or was he, you really identified him through analytics that this guy can come in and step in and do a good job that he did?
Yeah, I mean, the analytics side of it was really one of the biggest factors in it. And looking back to when, you know, Cam had the most success and you know, kind of what we figured was he had played so much that his body kind of broke down on him. He took a couple of years to kind of get healthy again and reestablish himself. So, you know, it was kind of an educated chance that we took. And, you know, we knew of his character. We knew of his how good of a teammate he is. And, you know, he's got great leadership qualities. He's a fantastic guy. So, you know, you always have to get a little lucky too. I'm not saying we're that smart, but, you know, Cam's making us look good right now.
No doubt about that, Bill. And along those lines, again, we're in conversation with Bill Guerin, Minnesota Wild GM. Seattle expansion is coming quickly, as you know, and certainly the moves you made yesterday probably allow you to keep names like Matt Dumba and Nico Sturm. But your goaltending, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to suggest that, you know, it could be a position that Seattle looks at coming up in the expansion draft. What's it been like navigating through these waters here? And also, are you still open to making sort of a protection type deal, knowing you have two really, really good goalies?
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet. I don't know if we're going to be making any sort of deals. We could just be rolling the dice, and, you know, we're going to lose a player that we like. And the one thing I don't want to do is, you know, kind of overthink it and get myself into trouble and lose two players for, you know, we could trade a player and then we're definitely going to lose a player. So we'd be out two guys. So I, to be honest with you, we're still going through it. We're still, you know, taking a lot of phone calls and, you know, seeing what our options are.
Just a couple more before we let you go. Let's talk about Bill Guerin's offseason shopping list. And we talked about that briefly earlier on, but would a top six center be near or atop that list? Like, what are you looking to do to better this organization moving forward this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, center is always a position that's talked about with us. It's definitely something that we could improve on. Listen, now we're going to have to fill some holes. We're going to need, you know, we're going to need defensemen. We're going to need a couple bottom six wingers. You know, we could always try to improve the center position. That's not always easily done. You know, teams are very reluctant to trade the centers that they like. So, you know, we might have to draft those guys and be patient and wait. So, but there's always work to be done. There's always holes to fill. And we've got a busy couple weeks coming up.
And you talk about busy, brief time as a GM. I love your confidence. You're not afraid to make big and tough decisions. How much fun are you having right now, Bill?
I love this job. It's awesome. You know what? It really is. It's the best. And, you know, you can't play forever, unfortunately. But this definitely satisfies the competitive nature that you know, we all have. I just love it. I've got a great situation here in Minnesota with a supportive owner, a great market, got good people to work with. And I'm just having a blast. Like, I love my job.
You're a gunslinger, and we love it. Bill, so appreciative of your time, and best of luck this offseason, okay?
Thanks for having me on, fellas. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Two-time Stanley Cup champ, 18 years in the NHL, now a GM of the Minnesota Wild. It's Bill Guerin. Stewie, I was trying to figure out 17 different ways to indirectly ask about Jack Eichel. How did I do?
You did okay, but you might be banned from any future interviews with him, though. But again, you're not afraid to ask the hard questions, and that's a legit question. And you're clearing out all this money. I know you're going to have some dead cap space in a couple of years, but the one thing he did mention, you do have some young guys in the future that are stepping in here that can do the job, too. So this sort of maybe lays the path for Jack Eichel, but we'll see.
And, you know, I think they've been linked to a variety of different names, and I think he did well with the line of questioning. I think you're trained with that in mind. You know, being a GM in this league, you're going to be asked some difficult questions. Could only wonder what the local media in Minnesota and St. Paul are asking Bill Guerin. But there's a lot of moving parts to it, and certainly I think Minnesota is open to pretty much anything at this point, and they do comprehend as well. Like, Stewie, you've played with enough great players. Kirill Kaprizov is a guy down the road, even now, he's already getting into that conversation of, you know, the upper ilk of this league, right?
Yeah, and he came in and surprised a lot of people. They knew he was going to be good, but this guy's going to be scoring 40, 45 goals too. And we had Bill Guerin on the show, I think it was a couple of years ago, when he just got the job, and he talked about how he went to the GM meetings and he would just sit there and not say anything and learn the job on the fly and just be quiet and slowly go about the days in the day-to-day of being an NHL GM. And everyone was questioning him for the first couple of months. When are you going to make a deal? Where is Kaprizov? What's going on? And I'm sure he answered those questions now with the big splash that he made this last couple days.
You know, the one thing that would drive me nuts is the PR game, and we've seen it sort of a bit here in Toronto with Zach Hyman. Every couple days his name comes up, he's not willing to sign, the Leafs are open, we see Freddie Anderson's name out there today. That would be the one thing that would drive me nuts as a GM, is trying to figure out what I should dip, you know, put my toe in and what I shouldn't. When should I say something, when shouldn't I say something? Because, you know, it's all about perception, right? You know, you look at Kaprizov in that camp. I think it was a couple weeks back, it came out that, hey, he's looking at the KHL. It's all, and you were a player in this league. I mean, they're trying to get the most money possible, and it is a negotiation, but you have to be careful about negotiating in the media, no?
Yeah, but that's more of a ploy than anything. If you leave Russia, most likely, even if you're Russian, you're not going back. And I was in Russia, and they could offer me triple the money that they did. I would not be going back, too. But the future's bright. I'm sure they're going to get the deal done. It's more semantics than anything. But, you know, these guys, they got some great young guys. They got Eriksson Ek locked in. They got Foligno there, Zuccarello, Rask. So their top six is very, very good. And I would not be surprised to see these guys contending for the Stanley Cup a lot sooner than later.
And they put up a really, really good fight. Don't forget that in the Stanley Cup playoffs, going to seven games, of course, you know, with the Vegas Golden Knights this year, which is pretty damn impressive considering Vegas went on to the Final Four. But another thing that stuck out, and we're all waiting to find out, Stewie, in terms of protection deals or maybe lack thereof with Ron Francis and the Kraken, is that Bill Guerin said they're not going to just make a move for the sake of making a move. And, you know, I'm happy you brought up Cam Talbot, because I think you don't have to be, you know, a smart person to figure out that that's probably likely, you know, especially when they do the buyouts, of course, on Parisian Suter, that you look at the goaltending that would allow Matt Dumba and Nico Sturm to be protected here. You would think, you know, conventional wisdom would suggest Minnesota. So you look at the goaltending, right? Is it going to be Talbot? Is it going to be Kakinen? But certainly Bill Guerin not showing all his cards, but suggesting that he's likely not going to make a protection deal, which leads us to believe one of those goalies could be a member of the Kraken.
Yeah, and sorry to say, Kaapo Kakko, you got the best name in the National Hockey League, but you're probably going on that. You're going,
you think that's
on
it?
On that unprotected list, because, again, we had him on early on in the season. He was the reason that they finished third in that division. That was Cam Talbot. And and that's why I asked him, like, did you get lucky? Like, how did you? Because, again, you made a move for another goaltender in the league. They probably don't make the playoffs. That's how great hockey and how much he's standing on his head, too. So Cam Talbot, he's not going anywhere. He's got another 2 years here. He's locked into Minnesota. Sorry, Kaapo Kakko. Kakkonen, sorry.
Yes, Kaapo Kakkonen, close enough. Yeah. But this is going to be maybe an unpopular take, which I'm king of, Stewie. I can't say bye to Kakkonen, man. He's 24, Talbot's 34. You're a younger type organization. You're building around, you know, Kaprizov and company, Greenway and company. And I just have to go younger. I think what I saw from Kakkonen and maybe his first year and a half in the NHL suggests he's a pretty damn good goalie. And sometimes you have to make tough decisions. And sadly, I think I'm protecting Kakkonen. You're obviously going with Talbot.
Yeah, because if I'm Seattle, I'm looking at a goalie. I'm probably going for maybe a short-term option too. So there's going to be some other goalies out there that could be better throughout the league that could be a short-term option. So if Cam Talbot's there, he's gone. But if you expose Kakkonen, I think there's going to be other goalies that would be better, that would be a better option for Seattle.
Well, some names to look at, certainly. Chris Drieger is a UFA to be. Obviously, he's not going to re-sign with Florida, considering they already have two goalies, and maybe he signs. Maybe they take him in expansion from the Florida Panthers. You can still take UFAs. Philip Gustafson has come up with the Ottawa Senators, or maybe Matt Murray is the guy. Yeah, like, and that's the thing, Stu. Like, why do we continue to minimize Marc-Andre Fleury? Like, if you're Vegas, why get rid of Marc-Andre Fleury right now?
Well, because you made the 5-year commitment to Robin Leonard, and that's going to go back into the theory of that you're just trading all these guys that you sign, and it's going to have a long-term effect. You keep signing these guys to long-term deals and getting rid of them 2 years in. After a couple of years, guys aren't going to come. I know they like the heat. They like the casinos. They like the lifestyle there. But at the end of the day, guys, they want to earn security, and they don't want to be signing in Vegas and ending up somewhere else that they prefer they not to be. So I'm not going to mention any teams, but that can be a long-term factor. Fleury's only got one more year. I know he's a great player, but I think he's probably going to be the odd man out with the Vegas.
And to your point, you're right. Sorry to interrupt. Like, I mean, to your point too, especially a team that's going to play right up to the cap, and you're paying some guys a good chunk of money. You run out of money quickly. You can't afford to have your tandem make that much money. Correct.
Well, what about Montreal?
Yeah. Well, exactly. Right? Yeah. It's and Jake Allen, like we talk about Seattle, Jake Allen's name's been out there, but you start to wonder too with some of the postseasons that guys like Sherrod had. You know, I'm just so curious what Seattle's going to do, and certainly we're going to find out in the coming days. Again, the big days as we hit the break coming up, certainly starting with Saturday, 3 Eastern time, the rosters freeze, but 5 Eastern time is when the protection lists have to be in. And then, of course, coming up next week, Seattle will pick their team, and onwards we move to the NHL draft and free agency. So business, as they say, just picking up. Having said that, we'll hit the break. Other side, we're going to dive into the Colorado Avalanche conversation. If you were to ask me 4 months ago, I never would have suggested Gabe Landeskog would be elsewhere coming up next season. Maybe that's still not the case. Maybe they're playing some hardball right now in negotiations with Joe Sakic, but we'll converse further coming up with Mark Mosier, the TV voice of the Colorado Avalanche. It's Nick Alberga and Anthony Stewart on Twitter at the Golden Muzzy at Stu Monroe. And you're listening to Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, alongside the Stew Cat, Anthony Stewart, I'm Nick Alberga. This is Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan at the Golden Muzzy at Stu Monroe, where you can follow along on Twitter. It's always fascinating after every NHL season, Stewie, that you sort of forget at the end of the day, only one team is fully happy with their season. And you look back at this year, it's like the postmortem continues on the Colorado Avalanche. It seemed like they had everything to go far this year, no?
Yeah, they had an amazing regular season. They were they won the President's Trophy as well, and but again, the playoffs are a totally different beast. But they have some great young players. They have a superstar in McKinnon. They have Mikhail Makar. They traded for Devin Toews. Girard played some good hockey. But I think at the end of the day, and when it got to push came to shove, that Vegas Golden Knights team just started beating them up, where it was just tough for them to get out of their own zone too. So, you know, the market's coming up pretty soon here. I'm looking to get a little bit more size on the back end too. Maybe some secondary or tertiary scoring, as they say, up and down the lineup too. Because when McKinnon and Rantanen aren't going, there's some other guys that have to step up too. So another concern is, Nazem Kadri. Are there any long-term implications with him at the organization getting suspended, in the playoffs too? But the future's definitely bright. They just got to sort of now round up the roster. But again, they're going to be a contending team for, the next bunch of years for sure, in my opinion.
I agree with that. Let's bring in Mark Mosier, Avalanche TV play-by-play voice. And Mark, let's piggyback off that. We are in Toronto. The perception on Nazem Kadri right now, what's that like in Denver?
Well, guys, as you can well imagine, I mean, nobody wants to see your second-line center get knocked out of the postseason and do it to himself again, you know. And whether or not you agree with the length of time or whatever, I mean, he committed the act. And for a guy who's got that reputation, you can't do it. I mean, you're going to be heavily scrutinized by the National Hockey League, you know, and everything that comes with it. And I know that Leafs fans have gone through that many times in the past, you know, several years. And it stinks because, let's make no mistake about it, Nazem Kadri is a hockey player for this team and a good hockey player. He's your number two center. And when he's out, everything else gets jumbled. You know, everything below him essentially goes to the wrong place. And then even in the postseason, you know, you drop a Landeskog or you drop a Mikko, but you keep Mikko and Nate together, but you drop a Gabe. And so things get jumbled up and you don't have the lineup out there that you anticipated. So it is a factor. But at the same time, I mean, think about it, guys. At 4.5, he's your number two center and he's locked into that number two center spot. He's valuable in that spot, not only 5-on-5, but on the power play. So it, you know, he brings that to your club and he helps your club win. And right now, you know, at least for the next year, he's cost effective, and you got to try to take advantage of it. But I think everybody understands that, you know, maybe he should have been smarter about it, knowing his past history, and it definitely affected this Avs team in the postseason. There's no doubt.
On this show, I made a comment about speculating that Gabriel Landeskog could potentially be on the move at the deadline. Obviously, it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek. So how do we go from that time to a couple months ago saying, hey, there's no way that they're going to be trading him, they're going to be locking him in long-term, to a couple months later being at a contract impasse?
Yeah, Anthony, you know, I don't think they're at an impasse. I think this is my gut feeling. I believe the Avs will be back with the Colorado Avalanche. That's what I believe now. Again, if it gets to the 28th and then the guys can move on the 30th, I mean, we've seen it. And you guys, Nick, I've talked to you about it a million times. GMs do crazy things and they offer they get desperate and they offer crazy money to guys. And I'm sure that there is at least one and maybe a couple of more out there right now who are ready to go crazy money on Gabe Landeskog. So that's the game you play. And that's what's so dangerous about it, is because, you know, will somebody offer him a contract that he simply cannot refuse? I mean, he's, you know, 29 years old. He's got two young children. He's got his wife. You know, he's happy on and off the ice, and at least had a great year this year. So what can you do with him? You know, is it more about the term as opposed to the average? I guess I really don't know, because I'm not privy to those conversations. But I know that he's, you know, he's been the captain for over a decade. You know, he loves Colorado. I know the Avalanche love him, and they want him to maintain what he's done here, because what he brings, I think we all understand, off the ice, he brings that experience, that leadership. And yeah, he became a captain at the age of 19, but guys, now he's been through it all. I mean, he's been in there over a decade and he has a family now. He can relate to every single guy in that room in some capacity for off-the-ice stuff. Great leader on and off the ice. So the intangibles that comes with a Gabe Landeskog, I think, is valuable too. But then, like every other team with a flat cap and in the salary cap area, you're going to have to pay Cale Makar. In 2 years, you're going to have to pay Nathan MacKinnon. You've got to think long-term with your team and what is doable and how to figure it out. And for these GMs, they got to think about – I know some think about, okay, this coming year and next year. But, man, if you got to think about 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road, it can get tough trying to manage everything. But honestly, Stewie, Nick, I feel like Gabe is going to be remaining a Colorado Avalanche. I think that if the player wants to be there and the team wants the player there, you come to a meeting of the minds, because there's no animosity, there's no angst, there's nothing driving a player away. It's just about what is fair and, you know, what are other guys getting and what's the outside pressure. And all of those kinds of things that virtually go into every single hockey deal that's done.
And again, don't forget too, with expansion, like it probably doesn't make as much sense to sign him right now as opposed to after the process. You know, Mark, what's your indication? What's your thought process when it comes to expansion and who they're going to protect? It certainly helped what Eric Johnson did. And I think that's such a huge move for that locker room and says a lot to the character of Eric Johnson as well. The wave is no move, but you think it's likely that Gabe Landeskog is unprotected?
You know, Nick, that's really interesting you ask that, too. I've been thinking a lot about this the past couple of days. I mean, what's to say that the team hasn't gone to Gabe and Gabe's gone to the team? Okay, listen, we're going to unprotect you, leave you unprotected, so that we can, you know, protect another guy to try to keep as much of this team intact as possible. But let's reconvene, you know, right after that. And, you know, are we getting closer? You know, is that cool with you if we don't do that? I mean, if I'm Gabe Landeskog, and this is strictly speaking from a player's point of view, and they leave me unprotected, if I'm taken by Seattle, and I don't know that they want to give term out to guys, you know, I don't know that they want to give. I'm sure Gabe wants term. So the question is then, okay, well, is there any chance of him signing with Seattle? Is there any chance of him, you know, them getting his rights and then trading him real quick and him signing with another team? If you're committed to going free agent, then you're committed to going free agent. That's and seeing what's out there. That's what I would do. I would not hamstring myself, unless it's my home club like the Avalanche, and you're committed to going that route. I would not hamstring myself to, you know, whatever the crack can throw at me. I'd want to see what else is out there, and I'm sure his agent is doing his due diligence. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, that's a way to go. And with EJ waiving his no trade, having been injured, the money that he makes, I don't think there's any way Seattle would take Eric Johnson. With Gabe, it's probably more of a proposition, but I still think it's way off. So, you know, there's some gamesmanship to be played here with the Kraken and see exactly what they are willing and not willing to do. Because if they waste a guy, you know, coming off the Colorado Avalanche and a guy who's not going to sign with them anyway, I think it's a pretty silly maneuver for Ron Francis and company. But I guess we'll wait and find out. But again, I think that I think he's going to be back.
Is there any update on the Philip Grubauer front? And if he does resign with the Avs, what's his number looking at and term as well?
You know, so it's funny. He just played in the All-Star game, or the celebrity softball game, I should say, at the All-Star weekend here at Coors Field. And I'm like, okay, if you don't want to stay with the team, and I know that Groovy, he said even over the All-Star weekend, I want to be an Avalanche. You know, you're not gonna play in the All-Star game at Coors Field, are you? If you're already, you know, your mind is already out of town. So to me, that's a good sign, right? I mean, if they're like, hey, Groovy, come on over to Coors Field and play with Von Miller and all these guys, okay, cool. And he does it, that means that he wants to stay. What his average is, you know, boy, I tell you what, he was here on a deal too at 3.5, and I would think that, I wouldn't say double that, but could you guys see Philip Grubauer, you know, as a Vezina finalist signing for 5.5 per? I could see that, maybe 6 per. You know, that's what Varley was getting before when, you know, before he went to the New York Islanders. So I could see him right around, you know, $2.5 million per year bump for another 3-4 years. Grubauer was very effective, guys. I mean, he's the Avs number one, and you know, outside of Philip Grubauer, they don't have a number one. So, you know, he's got him in a position, and hopefully this is a situation where he wants to stay and be an Av and finish what they started here the past couple of years. But boy, over at Coors Field, over at the All-Star game this weekend, every indication was that Grubby wants to be here. The Avs again want him here, and let's see if they can make it happen.
Yeah, I think he's going to be around Markstrom territory, if you know what I'm saying, with Mark Mosier, the TV play-by-play voice of the Colorado Avalanche. It's Nick Alberga and Anthony Stewart here in Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Because you're right. Like, I think you look at the season at Grubauer, how do you not bring this guy back? But I think they run the risk of having to make this happen before free agency starts because, Moj, like, there's going to be teams lining up for Grubauer, especially a season like he just had, right?
Yeah, you got to think so. Yeah, and that's where, guys, the condensed schedule is probably going to bite some teams in the tail, you know, because everything has to get done so fast. And you both know, and Stewie, I'm sure you went through it, you know, as a player. Okay, well, let's just sit and percolate on it a little bit, right? We got another couple of weeks. Let's continue to talk. Because when it always comes down to it, when you get to the 11th hour, that's when the real talking begins. Well, hey, man, the 11th hour is coming up, not only for the Avs, but for a lot of teams pretty quickly here. It's, all right, well, we got to hey, the clock's a ticking. You got to get it done because all of a sudden here comes, you know, this list, and then here comes the expansion draft, and then here comes the draft, and then here comes free agency. I mean, it's bambity, 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 bam. And so, you know, if I'm a GM or an assistant GM or anybody, an agent, a player, then you can't go anywhere and do anything. You've got to be focused on the task at hand right now, and not only with what you're doing, but with what other teams are doing and who's going to jump the shark and, you know, give a guy $9 million a year out of the blue when you don't expect it. And I don't know. I've been around long enough, and you guys have too, to see GMs. They do crazy things. How many contracts have you seen guys sign and you go, God, what is that guy thinking signing into that contract? And then in 3 years, you're like, I told you it was going to be an albatross, right? But GMs consistently do that because the pressure to win is big. And the desire to win, and I get it, man. Teams want to win, and so, you know, if we got some extra bread, we cleared this guy out, and who knows, you know, what deal is going to be worked out with Seattle to clear out a long-term guy and a big, you know, at a big salary so that you can make a run at another free agent. I don't know, man. The next couple of weeks are going to be really crazy. You guys are going to be doing handstands, I'm sure.
I'll give you a choice on which question to answer here. Is Brian Dinsaw going to be in a Colorado Avalanche uniform next year? And how great is Bowen Byram going to be in a couple years?
I'll take the Byram one. if you give me the choice, I'm going to take the Byram one. I think he's just going to be terrific, you know. And here's the modern NHL too. You've got to draft and develop guys because you've got to be able to put guys in on their entry-level contracts that are playing really good hockey. And I think Bowen Byram at the age of 20 is going to be one of those guys. The injury stunk. You know, he got racked up by Kolesar there at the end of the regular season. And during the regular season, that really affected him, you know, and then he couldn't really get back in there. But I think this guy, you know, I don't think he's going to be Cale Makar good, but who knows. But I think he's going to be really good. And what I like about him already is his confidence. He's a very confident young man, even at the age of 20, and he doesn't seem to make the same mistake twice. And I love that about him too. And he's a player. I mean, he can skate, he can pass, you know, he just knows the game. Peter McNabb and I sit and watch him at practice, and we go, whoa, that's pretty good right there. And so you can tell he gets it already. And so you need those guys, though. You know, it's not even a choice anymore. God, we hope a Bowen Byram can step into certainly a top six, but a top four role. You're like, man, in today's day and age with a flat cap and everything else and with the cap, then you got to pay these big guns big money. God, you need him to do it, right? You need him to come in and be players at a young age because you know, your window of opportunity when guys are going to be coming up, that those opportunities close. And I think the Avs are fully aware of that. But I'll take the Byram one. I'll say he's going to be a total stud, Stewie.
We like it. And Moj, you got a minute left, so be quick if you can. I like putting people on the spot. I'm on capfriendly.com, the Seattle expansion draft. My keepers right now, my protection list right now, and this is just me: Rantanen, McKinnon, Burakovsky, Kadri, Gerard, Taves, Graves, and Makar, and give me Grubauer. Does this mean that Tyson Jost could go? We talked about Gabe Landeskog being somebody that you leave unprotected and have sort of a back deal with. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, but does that sound like something that could happen? Tyson Jost could be a Kraken.
Could, yeah. And you know, again, Jost, he's only 23, man. I still think there's a lot of untapped potential there. I think maybe you've got one too many defensemen.
Fair.
Maybe one too many defensemen when it comes right down to it on who is unprotected and who is protected. But that looks good to me, especially if you're not going to protect Gabe and you've got an understanding with him. Okay, we're going to unprotect you and then let's keep on talking, right? Because I if I'm Seattle and I'm Francis, I just don't take that gamble. It's too much of a waste if you come away with nothing. So, you know, that's a position the Avs that maybe you use that to your advantage. I mean, they're not going to take EJ, you know that. And by the way, Stewie, last thing too, Nick. You're talking about on the back end, man, the Avs really missed Eric Johnson because I'm telling you, at 6'4 and 235 or whatever his weight is nowadays, when he can play, man, he's a horse back there, and they really missed him too. So you got to assume that he's going to be an Avalanche next year as well.
Sounds good. They're more likely, as you're saying, probably to go with 7-3-1 the more I think about it. But I just love Ryan Graves, and you know that. We love you, Moj. Thanks so much for this. Appreciate it.
Gentlemen, anytime. Good to talk to you. Have a great summer.
Our pleasure. You as well. That's Mark Mosher, the TV play-by-play voice of the Colorado Avalanche. We'll wrap After this, it's Nick Alberga and Anthony Stewart on Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, a couple news and notes to wrap. Nick Alberga and Anthony Stewart here on this edition of Hockey Central. Congrats to assistant coach for the Montreal Canadiens, Luke Richardson. A well-deserved three-year contract extension there. And some news out of Boston today as well. Kevin Miller, who's 33, announcing his retirement via Instagram. The Blue Liner missed the entire 1920 season due to two broken kneecaps. Also hospitalized after suffering a concussion in this year's playoffs. If you do remember the Dmitry Orlov hit. And news coming from Joe McDonald, who covers the Boston Bruins, that it sounds like Brandon Carlo is closing in on an extension as well, Stewie.
Yeah, so there's a lot of news coming out of Boston right now, too. And I've been one of those analysts now that have been trying to count them out for the last 5 years. But it just seems with that perfection line, they always find a way to be in the mix. So they got some good young guys coming up, too. I would not be surprised to see them in the mix next season as well.
Disappointing news on Kevin Miller, man. I love the way that guy played, a right-handed shooting defenseman, and just couldn't stay healthy. And then the final blow of his career, that just stinks. You know, the Orlov hit, which was a big topic of conversation in that series, and ultimately that was his final game in the NHL. It just shows you, and I'm sure you're aware of this, playing in that league, that you just give it your all every game, and you never know when it could end, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's sad to see him go out that way. But he's one of those guys. He didn't put up a lot of points, you know, 15, 16, 18 points a season. But he just played the game the right way. Solid, made a good first pass, was hard-nosed, protected the front of the net. So that could be a message to some of these young players. Not about points. It's playing the game the right way. He made a career of doing that, 350 games.
Certainly did, and congrats to Kevin Miller. Tough to see it end that way, and certainly that is the big news of the day so far. We talked about Jeff Skinner off the top, and Stewie, we are closing in on Saturday. It's sort of surreal considering, you know, how long it seemingly took for the Seattle Kraken to enter this league, and in about a week from now, they'll actually have players on that roster. Can you believe it?
Yes, and it's almost been too quiet here, so I'm sure Ron France is going to have a couple big moves up his sleeve too. But the one thing I won't be looking forward to is you tweeting about it every 20 minutes, and I'm sure I'll be seeing tweets right now. But it's definitely going to be interesting. Grab your popcorn and stay tuned.
Someone make a trade, hashtag NHL. That is my go-to right now. Not to mention Zach Parise in his third grade picture wearing a Toronto Maple Leaf hat. Some food
for
thought.
Here we go.
Thanks, Stewie. I'll be back on Friday, okay?
Thanks a lot, buddy. Great show today.
All right. You as well. That's Anthony Stewart. Many thanks to Wild GM Bill Guerin, two-time Stanley Cup champ Mark Mosier, the Avs TV play-by-play voice, Matt Marchese, Dylan Brown, Lance Kennedy. You all brought it. For Anthony Stewart, I'm Nick Alberga. Thanks so much for listening. Take care.